the sayings of Jesus Christ, that he felt so inadequate that he had never tried to write on John 3:16. For he said, "Who is qualified to say how much is contained in that little word, so?" God so loved the world. The Lord has been good to us here tonight. It takes us a while to realize the goodness of God. The Lord has been good to us tonight, right here. Right here. He's done a work among us. And it is so appreciated. He has been so good to us to help us, and we appreciate it. We're reading tonight from the book of Isaiah. I was telling Brother J.R. about this. It's a new one. Of course, that morning was new, and you've heard about all of my new ones. Every one that I preach to you is new. So you never get one that's well tried. You get those ones that's new. Mostly new. Every once in a while, the Lord will permit me, and I get to preach one on request. I have several lined up. But you have to be moved on, especially of God, to preach a request. We're reading tonight from the book of Isaiah, as we said, and we're reading from the 57th chapter and the 9th verse. We're just going to borrow the last 7 letters or 7 words. "And didst debase thyself even unto hell." And didst debase thyself even unto hell. The doctrine of hell is no child of darkness nor superstition. The doctrine of hell comes from the Bible. It is not only a horrible nightmare, but it is a stern, grim reality. Every day that we live, the fumes of hell belch up around us. People go to hell from our neighborhood. They go to hell from our streets. Most of those that go will go from sin. Some of them will go from pews, but most will go from sin. They'll go from the bothels of the day and the dives and the gambling dens and the houses of ill fame and the racetracks. They'll go from all of these permissive societies that we have gathered. But the virtue of people, men and women, and their purity is being assassinated. And people are being led into prison because of the devil. And we forget that every sin must be accounted for. No matter how good the person is that sins, every sin must be accounted for. And this is the reason that people are led not only to prison, they're led to the electric chair. Now they have lethal injections that they give them. Now not only are they doing that, but in a lot of places, people sit in solitaire without hope of ever being able to see the outside again. When we take a deep breath and ask ourselves the question, what's to blame and who's to blame? Is it a permissive society? Is it a failure of our government? What is it? Then the old song comes back that says, "Sin's to blame. Sin's to blame." It is sin. But in this case, this sin is the sin that brings a debasement. It brings a downward tendency. The word debase means a lot of things. But the one that I want to borrow from it is this. It means to bring down in status. To bring down in status. Or bring down in position. Bring down in power. To bring down. It says of Israel here in the 57th chapter, you've debased thyself. How low did they bring themselves? To the prophet cried out, even unto hell. Well, we must find scripture for this. We cannot just presume it. We must prove it before it'll be gospel. We don't have to turn far in this book either way to find the proof. One of the greatest proofs of this doctrine that men can debase themselves even unto hell is found in the same book of Isaiah. Listen to what it says here. Isaiah 14 and 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Here is a debasement. The first actual person that took this road downward was not man, but an anointed angel of God. Heavenly in his makeup, God approved in his creation, set in a place of authority, given dominion. And yet from his heart there was a self-exalting pride that came in. He began to have aspirations to the throne of God. He began to say in his heart and to others that would listen, I will ascend. I will set my throne. I will. And then the end of him is to be brought down unto hell. There is an abasement unto hell. To the lowest debasement there is for God to take someone and turn them loose and let them gradually roam the rim of hell until they fall in. Listen, O Lucifer, how art thou fallen? How art thou fallen? It wasn't adultery. It wasn't fornication. It wasn't theft. It was pride. Pride that lifted him up. You see, it's all right to be God exalted, but to be self exalted is sin.
Right, right.
Roaming the rim. We don't know how long Lucifer held his position. Long enough that he felt like he was qualified to take God's job.
Yes.
Long enough that he preached this gospel of exalting himself to angels, and they believed. How long that was, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but it does show us the end. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? What brings on the fall of good men and good women? What brings on the fall of church members? What makes men weary with this good old way? What makes people begin to despise the way that we live? What is it that turns them to be the enemy of the church who was once a member of the church? A lifting up of self to where we don't need the church. We don't need our friends. And it's this lifting up that brings on destruction. I wish you'd help me preach. Seems like you've got awful quiet here lately. You see, I seen one of these funny little things. I think it was over at one of these restaurants where you put this coin in the slot and it comes out that slot and it runs around. It makes a complete revolution around it. And every time it makes one, it goes lower and goes faster and lower and faster. And it comes in like a funnel. And the shorter the circuit, the faster it goes. Until finally it just whizzes and then drops. I seen that and I said, Lord, that's the track that so many people are on. They come out away from you, and at first it goes slow, and it doesn't seem like there's any danger in leaving you, and you just make a complete circle. And then they get a little lower in sin, and the momentum picks up, and then they get a little lower in sin and they pick up more sins and more weights and it goes a little faster, and they get lower in sin and they begin to practice it more openly and more blatantly and boldly, and it gets faster, and soon they're right back into the fast track. And soon they realize that the bottom is out of this thing. There's no stopping it once you start this declining down to hell. Once you start abasing yourself and bringing yourself under this load and command of sin, it has a tendency never to exalt but to abase. It always is abasing and abasing and bringing you lower and lower until your lifestyle picks up so much speed that you can't change. You see, not only did it say it would bring him down, but it promised him it would bring him down, it says this, down to hell, to the sides of the pit. To the sides of the pit. When you start noticing a change in people, you'll not see them. They may go up in business, but they're going down. What the world calls up, God calls down. May have better jobs, better home, better culture, better manners. But if you're not born again, my friend, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you're on your way down. 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 Doesn't matter how it looks to you, my friend, it's what God says. God says sin takes you down. God says sin weights you down. God says sin chains you down. God says sin makes you a slave. God says sin blinds you. God said sin dismystify you. God says sin perplex you. God says sin actually antagonizes you. God says sin will rob you of your peace, rob you of your joy, rob you of your stability. God says sin will bring you down in the end. Nobody ever goes up. God's own people, verse 9 says, thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send messengers afar off. They went away from God. They begin to flirt with the world. Come on now, help me preach. They begin to flirt with the world. They perfume themselves to be attractive. They sent messengers to entice lovers. Amen. They wanted friendship with the world. And God said, when you've done it, you went away from me. Yes. You know, that's a New Testament scripture also. For it said, if we love the world, or we love the things of the world, they're not of the Father. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of God, but of the world. When a person begins to try to dress, to draw attention to themselves, you're not going up, my friend. You're not getting stronger spiritually. You're getting weaker. You're going down. These fashions of the world pass away. Amen. I know. You're young. I know. But let me tell you what the Bible says about youth. It said, flee youthful lust. Why? Because that youthful burning lust will weigh you down with many sorrows and will pull you down and strangle your hope and rob you of your decency, rob you of your virtue, rob you of your purity. It'll take you from the loftiness of purity and debase you down to the muck and the mire of sin.
Come on, Brother Bennett. Helping God.
Verse 11, it says, he did not remember God. It said, of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me? What makes us forget God? What makes us forget God? Don't tell me you don't. The Bible says he'd been forgotten days on end. Months without remembering God. When a person doesn't like to retain God in their knowledge, if they're not careful, God will give them over to a reprobate mind. You see, if we don't like the upward track, we can always turn and go back. When you go back, remember it's down.
Amen.
Going away from decency. Going away from love. You're going away from peace. You're going away from joy. Going away from heaven. You're going away from the angels. You're going away from the Holy Ghost. You're going away from God the Father, God the Son. You're going away from the principles of holiness. You're going down, and you'll have to climb back out of a pit if you continue to follow that. You don't think you're in a pit right now. Some of our young folks don't think that they're in a pit. To them, it's a high whole time. But the world lives down there in that pit. And to them, they're used to the pit. They've never been on the mountain where the glory of God is. They've never felt the transforming power of God. They never had the peace of God. They never had the joy of the Lord. They never felt what we felt. And they think living down in the rat holes, amen, and sewer pipes of this world is good living.
Come on, Brother Ben. Preach it.
Do you know there's actually children in our cities, our major cities, that call themselves the sewer rats? They learn the sewers. And they go to town through the sewers. They keep company with rats. Filth. But they learn how to adjust themselves to the sewers.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
You see, you can get accustomed to a sewer. Amen. Some of you may not appreciate my style of preaching. I don't know. I got to tell you anyway. You see, a person can come down to where they can get so accustomed that they can go into a bar with those dim lights, smoke filled. Listen to honky-tonk music. Listen to people cuss and fight and argue and go on. You get so used to it that they can't do without it. They just can't do without it. They got to hear that honky-tonk music. They got to smell that smoke. They got to
They got to just get down to where it's at. Get on down to where it's at. To them that's living, but to the people of God that's been saved out of that, they say, man, that ain't living. Nothing good in those places. But how did you find out the difference? You went up and out. You went up and out. God lifts you up out of a horrible pit. God brings you up out of the miry clay. God brings you up and sets your feet on a solid rock. God gives you hope in your soul. God opens your eyes and gives you good sense. And then we turn and look at that terrible place we were in, and it just makes us afraid that while we sat there, somebody could have come in, put a gun to our head and blowed us away. Somebody could have taken a bottle of broke it over the counter and jabbed your eyes out with it. Amen. Now we shudder at the danger when once we lived accustomed to it. And when people leave church, they don't stay out of there very long. You see, there's a force in this world that guarantees you're returning to it. As an old swine, an old sow that's been washed and let out of the pig pen. Then we get up on the concrete and we're prized and we're washed and we're perfumed to show off. And then you take the ribbon off and the confines off and turn her loose back in the barnyard, and back to the wallowing in the mire she goes. There's a guarantee in this scripture that guarantees you that if you don't stay in this upward path, there is a roaming the realm of hell. You come out of the chute, you come out away from God, and you get on that fast track, and for a while it doesn't seem like there's any difference in you. For a while you stay with your wife, for a while you stay with your children, for a while you stay with your job, and then all of a sudden you pick up the pace and you pick up drinking and you pick up dope and you pick up the dancing and you go from man to man and from woman to woman. Pretty soon you're cheating on your wife, you're cheating on your husband, you're a lying, you're doing things you shouldn't do, and you're on your way down, man. You're on your way down. For the Bible says that when a man comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ and is cleaned and swept and garnished and has nobody in there, it says after a while, Gerald, that old spirit that used to tempt us and lead us, come right back to our heart's door. And somehow he has the tools to open that door and look in. And he finds it all empty and swept. He looks in and there's no one living there. He goes, and they start lining up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they come in. You know where that takes you? Lower than you've ever been in your life. The end of that man is worse than his beginning. The end of sin is always down. All over our country, there's people going out of church. We're not the only one that's lost people. We've lost them. They went out from among us.
But you know, that's as old as the gospel that John wrote. He said they went out from among us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But there is the going out away from us. We don't want to see them go out because, Brother Joe, we know where they're going. They may say, I'll never go back drinking. That's what you say right now. I'll never go back to the way that I used to live. That's what you're saying now. There's a difference between what you are now and what you will be after a while. What you are now is what you think you can always be. But you can't always do that because there's a spirit, my friend, that's got you. And they know they've got you. You're as only as weak as your strength. Amen. And after a while, after that strong one has left us, after the Spirit of God quits dealing with us, after the Holy Ghost no longer deals with us, after the Spirit of God no longer speaks to us, after our conscience has been seared, there's no telling what you will do, my friend. No telling. Away from God is to roam the rim. Roam the rim. There's a young man I prayed for. I don't know how many times I've preached to him and he's come back. I've preached to him and he's come back. Now he's got to the place. He still loves me and I love him. But he's got to the place where he don't trust himself. He just won't come and pray. He said, I can't. I just can't live it. I can't live it. He's tried and went back. Tried and went back. And tried and went back. Now the devil has him convinced that he can't. Can't. You know, when you give up on yourself, you're almost to the dropping off point. Doesn't take death long to get you stone cold. A young man in Oklahoma got acquitted the other day. He'd confessed to 5 or 6 people, police officers and things, that he had done it. And then when he got on the witness stand, he said, I was coerced into those testimonies. I didn't do it. He was going with some 15-year-old girl. They was out in the field stripping this car. The next time they found her, they found her in the trunk with a bullet hole in the back of her head, burnt in the trunk of that car. They know he done it. But he so coerced in that testimony, said, I was forced into doing it. I was afraid to say I didn't do it till the jury said, well, that testimony that he gave of those confessions is no good because they forced him to do it. They didn't force him to do it. When he first done it, he knew he'd done it, and he said it out of his heart. But then that lawyer came along and began to tell him, but let me tell you, that won't be where it ends. That won't be where it ends. There'll be more. There'll be more. There'll be somebody else. There'll be somebody else and somebody else. Come on now. Sin never quits. You'll never just quit sin. You've got to be saved out of sin. You just don't quit stealing and quit lying. You've got to be saved out of it. You don't quit being mean to your wife and quit being mean to your husband. You've got to be saved out of it. You just don't quit drinking. You've got to be saved from drinking. Roman. Just playing around. I remember the other, not too long ago, we took a bus and went down there. It's been a year, I guess. We stopped at a McDonald's down towards Cincinnati. Pulled the bus in the back so we wouldn't block traffic. And I remember as we sat there on the bus eating, I seen a young lady stick her head out of the car and just vomit all over the sidewalk. And some young man staggered around and held her head up so she wouldn't drag her hair in it. And I thought, oh God, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son.
And here they are on the backside of the McDonald's. She's so sick she can't hardly live, and he's so drunk that he's irresponsible. And they're going to pull out of here, and they're going to get on that highway, and they're going to go somewhere else. And you know what? That just got me so mad. I just wanted to just do something. Not because they were mean, but just because he was taking advantage of her and she was stupid enough to let him. And they'll go from there. And if they leave there and get permissive, there'll be two people that took the road to hell from a back seat. Read what the book of Proverbs says about it, my friend. It says those steps go to hell. When people live like our folks live in this world, in the United States, you can go into grocery stores and there's magazines that would make adult men blush. And there's little bitty guys sneaking around behind the corner picking those magazines up off the rack and reading them. And all they're doing is open the gate to hell, and the devil's kicking them out that gate. And there they go roaming. There they go. Where are they going to stop? Where are they going to stop? Over here at some drive-in that shows X-rated movies. Where at? Over here at some peep show. Maybe they'll go from that to some sort of weird sex. Who knows where they're going after the devil kicks them out and puts them on that fast track. Where you know they're going? Maybe they'll sell their virtue for a fix. Maybe they'll go out and sell their body for just another handout of something. We don't know where they're going, but that door is open and the devil kicks them out and they start roaming the rim, only end up in a bottomless pit. Little Laban leaveth the whole lump. It's just a crack in the gate. It's the devil's going to get that old good foot behind some boy and some girl and just give them that kick. See, he'll give you your first ride free. Those guys that sell that dope, they'll give you the first one free. I've been a lot of guys by the first round. Devil's always willing to help you on your way down. Amen. They didn't lay at the heart that they were going from God. Let me tell you something right now. There's some of our people that's in this church that's really not laid to heart what sin really does. They really not. They're no more afraid of sin than they are of Christmas and Santa Claus. They're not afraid of sin. Because, you see, it doesn't show up real quick. Real quick. But it show up after a while. Drinking don't show up, but till after a while you come up with cirrhosis of the liver. Don't show up after right away, but after a while you meet these guys walking the street that don't have enough sense to get off of the street. And you ask them where they're going. There's folks that, not so much in Dayton, Ohio, but there's folks in Tulsa and San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York that live in boxes. They live under bridges. People have tried to help them. They can't even remember their name. They're so burned out that they can't tell you who their mom was, who their dad is, if they got any living relatives. They just have been kicked out to that pace, that fast pace, and finally been brought down to their senseless, nameless objects on the street. John Doe's. They get buried in unmarked graves, and mom never knows if they're alive, and dad never knows if they're alive, and their parents don't know, and friends don't know, and wives don't know if they're alive, because one day the door was open and the Satan of hell kicked them out on the fast track, and no one got to them with the gospel. No one prayed for their soul. No one wept when they missed. Oh my God! And person who has a nobody praying for them will find themselves going down and down and down until they're a nameless nobody on their way to hell. A nameless nobody on the way to hell. You see, where sin can take you, it's just like the man in Philadelphia. Wasn't it Philadelphia? That had money. Him and his friend enticed these girls that liked to wine and dine. He wined them and dined them and coerced them to come into his apartment, only to find themselves in the morning chained to basement pipes. Who opened the door? Who turned sin loose? People that said, I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need that kind of preaching. I don't need it. And found out that the only brakes there is that holds souls on the way to hell are praying people asking God to show mercy. You'd better hear me tonight and hear me well. You may be the only brakes that's holding that boy from dropping off into that bottomless pit. You may be the only brakes that's slowing his lifestyle down. You may be the only thing. As Brother Ely preached, roadblocks on the road to hell, and he said God set them up to keep people from going so they'd have to step over them. Well, you're the only brakes that's holding those kids on that downward move. You're the only hope they have if you're touching God and God showing mercy to them. What will happen, my friend, if the brakes ever fail? What will happen, my friend, when you won't pray and nobody prays for them? What will happen when nobody shows any care? Let me tell you, there's a bottomless pit. There's a road to hell that drops off into a pit. A horrible pit in which there's no escape. You may get aggravated with them, but you'd better not get so aggravated you don't pray. You may not approve of what they're doing, but you'd better show your disapproval in prayer. Amen. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach. You see, not only does he send individuals, but those great cities that have had such a wonderful history of miracles. Listen to what he says over here. He calls Capernaum to task. And he says of Capernaum, "Oh, Capernaum. Oh, Capernaum, who was exalted to heaven," Matthew 11 and 23, "and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Let me preach to you holiness, folks, for a while. Let me preach to you something. It's you that have seen the great miracles. It's you that have been in the services where the power of God was displayed. It's you that hear the preaching from heaven. It's you to whom the Spirit of God speaks and warns. It's us that have tasted the heavenly manna from above. It's us that have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And for us to leave this light is to go into total darkness. And for us to backslide from this hope is to go into a state of hopelessness. People who backslide from holiness and come back are never as strong as they was. Ask any of them. Any of them that'll tell you the truth, you'll never get it all back. There seems to be something about, yes, God's merciful, and yes, God will give you a second chance, but it seems like that second time is never as good as the first time. Amen. And the third time is never as good as the second time. And the fourth time is never as good as the third time. And every time you go out and you come back, you lose something of God in your soul. And you get weaker. People that's backslidden come back have to guard themselves against temptation. Because the devil just loves to gang up on you. It just seems like he torments them that have come back. He just rides them because he knows that one time he rode them and they give up. One time he tempted them and they give up. One time he caused somebody to cuss them out and they give up. One time somebody got mad at him and they give up. So he begins to put the onslaught on and he talks mean to you. And he causes people to talk mean to you because he knows that he overcome you. Watch, he's going to try to do it the second time again. You know I'm telling you right. He zeroes in on you because he'd love to take his foot and kick you out again. People that I loved and I've prayed for, I've watched them. Prayed through when we pastored over in Indiana. She came through and her mom had always lifted her up, always. Made her dress nice and didn't make her, she liked to. She dressed nice and she's always up in the front. She liked to have her daughter up front so folks would recognize her. They really got saved. All of them got saved. The mom and the two girls and the little boy got saved. Just the other day, I married her and her husband. Both good kids. They went off and served God for a number of years. And then the young man, unhappy with his married life, left his wife. So she decided that she wasn't going to live alone. And she looked around and found her some man that showed interest in her. And there's always do. There always will be somebody. And she said, he's the one. People told her, said, go talk to his first wife. Go talk to her. Find out what's wrong. Well, his first wife was beat and abused. He drunk and he run around on her. But this girl said, no, it'll be all right. The other day, the word got back to me that he had slapped her around, got her down and kicked around on her. And she had left that lofty height of being married to a preacher and come on down to being married to person who drinks and beats, kicks around on his wife that doesn't care. She left the lofty heights of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and went back out into the world to be tied now to someone who's going to abuse her. She left that anointed status and now she's down here. Down here. Down here. Listen, my friend. I'm trying to preach to you, if you'll hear me. You may think it's rough serving God, but you ain't never read the end of those who have left God. The way of a transgressor is hard. Preacher's wife came up to me in Oklahoma and said, pray for me, pray for my husband, pray for my children. I said, okay. She said, my husband left me. Said he just He was a preacher, holiness preacher. God anointed holiness preacher. Said he just walked out on me. Just left. Now he lays drunk. He said, pray for, she said, pray for him that God will save him. She said, I've been praying for him for 16 years. Pray for him that God will save him. She said, but that's not bad. I said, my son, he's a drunkard too. He said, my young girl, just the other day, come home and told me, said, Mom, I'm in trouble. I'm pregnant. Not married. And there was a family who was one day all together serving God. That's to pieces now. To pieces. Because someone went out the gate and left it open and took that fast road, and children fell in behind them and started taking the fast road. Listen, you may get out, but there's going to be somebody that's go through the gate with you, and you get on that fast track, and you may find out someday, then pray back through, but your children go right on past you, right on past you, past your prayers, or past your crying, or past your pleading, right on into hell. Preacher, one time, highly anointed of God, prayed for the sick. God healed men. The other day, before he died, came to the church where he was so loved and so well respected. The people who knew him sat there afraid of him. He got up to try to testify and said, you're afraid of me, aren't you? Of course they were. He testified a while. Spoke in tongues, gave the interpretation himself. All of it was of no avail, because the kind of a spirit that he had was that spirit that had been given over to a reprobate mind. He had mocked God. He had mocked God's people. And now when he wanted to come back before he died, all he could come up with was a spirit that was not of God, that let him speak in tongues and let him prophesy, but it didn't bear witness with the people of God who had the right spirit. Let me tell you something, my friend. The devil has more than one way to take you to hell. Cities. Obadiah 4 says of a nation, if though you make your dwelling in the clefts of the rock, I'll bring you down. I'm about to close. It seems like it's a little hard preaching tonight. Jesus in Matthew 25 speaks of those who do and those who do not. He speaks of it in this term. As you did it not unto the least of these my little ones, you did it not unto me. And as you did it unto the least of these my little ones, you have done it unto me. The right hand people were those that had done it. The left hand people that went into everlasting punishment was those that didn't do it. Now let me tell you of another road to hell. That's not doing. Just sit there and don't do nothing. Don't visit the sick. Don't visit those that are confined in their homes. Don't visit the jails. Don't visit the prisons. Don't give away your clothes. Don't give away any of your food. Just sit there. That's all they did. Read it yourself. He didn't say nothing about adultery or fornication. He didn't say nothing about drinking, theft, doping. He didn't say nothing about any of those sins that are prevailing in our day. It just said, you saw me and you didn't do it. Now let me tell you why. For the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The same devil that talks you into saying, you worked hard for it, you'd better keep it. He just opens the door, and through greed, he takes the same foot that he pushes a drunkard out, and he pushes you. Amen. You can go to hell from a pew. Hallelujah. My, it's graveyard quiet, isn't it? Matthew 23 and 12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." We're going to judgment. The next major world leader will be that self-exalting Antichrist that will exalt himself even above God. You see, since people don't want humbleness, the Lord's going to give them a person that's going to preach humanism of exalting yourself. He's going to be one of those charismatic leaders that's going to exalt himself. He's going to raise his voice against heaven. He's going to do it publicly. He's going to be like the atheist of old, the agnostics. Was it not Ingersoll that said that if there be a God, let him strike me dead?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "I'll stand here for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me dead."
Uh-huh.
And he stood there and counted the minutes off and said at the end of 15 minutes, "See? There's no God. There's no God." There are folks that's not afraid to take their fist and shake it in God's face. And there's going to be a tendency in our day to turn away from God to pleasure and to mock God. The reason there is because they're teaching it in our schools. They're teaching you that you're God. The people in churches are teaching people now that they're gods. Amen. That's right. There's a movement on now in Washington, a church that says, "You're all gods. We're all equal with God." And when people begin to lift themselves up in pride, a haughty spirit goes before a fall, and pride before destruction. You see, there's more than one way to hell. But when you turn and go through that broad gate, you're roaming the rim of it right now. They say in the sea there's a mysterious thing that every once in a while happens. Somehow a vortex is caught in the sea from the currents hitting just right of a storm. And out of that there comes a hole. And ships have been sucked into it. And they get caught in that spinning, whirling current that sucks them down. Down under. Down under. Whirlpool. Looks harmless to start with until you get caught in its current. And then it pulls you and takes you down. Sin always looks cute, petite, handsome,
right,
dashing, debonair,
right,
till you get caught in its power. It's like the man who steps out into a sandy beach and starts walking and doesn't notice behind him that his tracks are filling up with water. And he keeps on walking. And soon the sand is seen to stick to his feet. And the more he walks, and soon he's in ankle deep. And as he pulls one out to get the other one loose, he sinks even deeper. And the more you struggle, the deeper you go. Till soon that pull of the weight of that body is sinking into a bottomless thing called quicksand. It was harmless till you stepped into it. And then fight as much as you will, for the more you fight, the quicker you go. The quicker you go. We've lost some people to the quicksand of sin. We've lost some to the whirlpool of this age. But let me tell you again what the end is. Thou shalt be brought down to hell. Now listen. I may not preach a message like this again for a while, but I'll preach this one tonight, and I preached it to you, and there's some of you had better pay attention to me. I mean, you had better pay attention to me. The Lord warned me in a dream. I felt like it was the Lord the other night. Warned me in a dream that if I made one mistake, there's already people there ready to pounce on that one mistake. Just one mistake. He showed me. Just make one mistake. And there's going to be a people that you thought was your friend that's going to line up against you. Man, Sister Judy, it gets hard to keep on walking this tightrope. I mean, it's rough walking this tightrope all the time, knowing that if you veer to the left or right, there's somebody sitting there going to say, "Aha, I told you all along." But I'd rather walk the tightrope of holiness than to take the broad way that'll take me down to hell. I'd rather have the spectators of life look on and try to walk it the best I can than to jump to the right or to the left and find myself in the quicksand of sin. I know where the end of all things go. That's sin. Hell. Not halfway, not part of the way, all the way. Hell. Bow your heads, please. Some of you sitting here tonight, you need to really change your ways. You really need God to speak to you. You really need to be saved from your sins. Death could be just a little ways off. I read when I got home about the man in West Carrollton. That's getting close to home. Real close to home. How close does it have to get before you realize that the wages of sin is death? Some of you tonight need to come to God and you need to pray clear through. You need to really get a hold of God. We're going to pray and we're going to ask you if you'll change your mind and get off of the road of unconcern and get off the road of this do nothing and commit yourself back to God before the devil finds the weak spot and opens the gate and you go rushing through thinking it's an end to the matter when it's only making things worse. Will you pray with me? Every one of you that got your head bowed now, I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray that the Lord will take over right now and will speak to hearts. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you give us a baptism of common sense. Give us an eye opener, Lord, that we can see sin and the end of it. Oh, Father, prick our heart as a potter, Lord, does the clay. Water us down and soften us up and put us back on the on the spinning wheel and put your hand back in our life and make us a vessel of honor. We're discouraged and distraught over it, Lord, and we need a touch. We need to be helped. I'm asking you, Father, right now that by the moving of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, you'll speak to hearts. You'll speak plainly, audibly to them. They'll know it's you. This we ask in the name of Jesus. We believe in you, Father. In Jesus' name. Speaking to you. You need to obey. So you have looked and you have seen what the world is about. But you will not easily fit and you will not easily belong. For you are a marked people and you will add much sorrow to your soul and you will add much sorrow to those that love you. If you go to what you have seen from the world, it will bring tragedy to you. And you will force me to chasten you. And I will chasten you with many stripes. And you shall feel the terror of the Lord. And you shall know the wrath of God as He chastened thee. For my severity will come upon thee. Thy family and the ones that you love will sorely be brought to sorrow because of you and your decision. I call to you and I ask you to change your ways. I ask you to look to your ways. I ask you that you would be careful with your ways. Because if you continue to decline, I will drop you and you shall be on your own. And I will no longer call after thee, and neither will I cause those that love you to plead for you. For as I told Samuel, not to pray for Saul, so shall I whisper into their hearts, there is no need and there is no use. Don't go. Come to me that I may help you. For I love you, saith the Lord, and I do not want to chasten you. Therefore I rebuke you this night that you may correct your ways. And be saved, saith the Lord. I want you to come. I want you to come.
The Holy Ghost is talking to you, and you need to come.